Everyday friends, we talk about moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I tell you, the time for Jesus Revolution is now.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, some of us are waiting for some magical moment to happen, and this is our time to take the stage of history, and this is our time to stand up for God, and this is the time to do what's right, and friends, the time is now. Well, on the one hand, as Martin Luther King said, it's always the right time to do what's right, to paraphrase his words. But those of us who've been waiting to step into something revolutionary, I really want you to know the time is now. Let me say again, when we say revolutionary, we don't mean in worldly terms. We don't mean anger. We don't mean hatred. We don't mean violence. We don't mean intimidation. We don't mean fighting with the world's weapons. But it is time, friends, for a Jesus revolution in society. Things have tipped to the point that there is no point of return without the gospel. The good news is God is at work. The good news is God will turn the tide. The good news is many yelling and protesting the loudest against the things of God will be those preaching his name the loudest in coming days. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Your blood will boil a little today, but we'll have a constructive boil, all right? A constructive boil for the glory of God. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Once I get going, feel free to weigh in with your own comments and thoughts, or join our website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on The Line of Fire. Many of you have been listening to me know that this week, August 27th is Saturday, so this week leading up to it, is the Pride Charlotte event in the heart of our city. And it's not just a social gathering, it is a politically charged event, as I have out of the mouths of the organizers themselves. And they have every right to hold a rally and do what they do. If they don't break any laws, they have every right to do it. They have police permits to hold their event. And we have every right to say, well, we differ with some of your goals, and we differ with some of the things you stand for. And we say there is a better way in Jesus. And we have a right to be there and not be disruptive and be law-abiding in the midst of the event. But there is a challenge that is going forth to our society, and it is basically this: that you no longer have the right to respectfully oppose homosexual activism, that you no longer have the right to take issue with it as a school teacher, that you no longer have the right to take issue with it if you're in a college counseling program, that you no longer have the right to take issue with it as a follower of Jesus and lover of the word, unless you want to be ridiculed and mocked day and night. You no longer have a right to do what is right. That's what it's coming to, friends. This is the time that we stand up and do what's right. This is the time that we press into God in prayer, that we ask him for his heart, that we commit ourselves to reach out in the love and compassion of Jesus, that we prepare our churches to receive those who are different from us in many ways and bring them into wholeness and salvation in the Lord. And it is a time to speak up and to speak out. Just news items from the last few days. CNN, teach your kids gay marriage is just like any other. Something as fundamental as marriage, the most fundamental thing in human society, marriage and family, the one thing which has been constant across all groups and peoples since the beginning of recorded history, the beginning of the human race, that men and women come together to procreate and have families. No, teach your children gay marriage is just like any other. Oh, New Jersey School District summer reading included gay sex pedophilia. They've apologized, but with this pathetic explanation, we were just trying to get students to read. Oh, the news goes on. We'll talk about what's happening. We'll talk about what we can do constructively as we focus on moral and cultural issues today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, lots of news. Store dresses down bride for being a lesbian. White House announces immigration changes that could benefit gay couples. And of course, you heard about the teacher who's been suspended, teacher of the year in his school in Florida, suspended for voicing disapproval of same-sex marriage in New York on his private Facebook page, on his private computer, on his private time. An outrageous violation of freedom of speech. An outrageous example of the thing we've been telling you about for months, and if you've been listening to the broadcast for years, that there is a real threat to our religious freedoms, and it comes from our friends in the gay activist community. Face the facts. Are we going to stand up? Are we going to do what's right? You know, I get blasted, ridiculed constantly. If you saw some of the ugly posts that we have to delete from sites because we don't allow profanity and other stuff and things that just never make it on, there's a lot of ugly abuse. I mean, real ugly, crass things and people wishing to do us physical violence and people wishing us harm and so on. It's a constant. We can cite case after case. It doesn't offend me. It doesn't upset me. In fact, Jesus said to expect it for following him. But don't fool yourself, friends, into thinking that life can just go on the way it's going on and we sit back and do nothing. Don't fool yourself into thinking that there's not a dividing line coming. Don't fool yourself into thinking that we can just find some kind of lovely, neutral ground. Here, just right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I live. This is not New York City. This is not Los Angeles. This is not San Francisco. This is not Atlanta. This is not Chicago. This is just Charlotte, North Carolina. Here's some writings from one of the organizers of the Pride Charlotte event, the Gay Pride event. Charlotte's LGBT community is coming out loud, proud, and strong, though it isn't the first time we've done so. We're reclaiming now after years of silent, and I say willful subjugation, our rightful place in the public square. The Charlotte LGBT community's virtual closet will be opened again. Now, first, there's no virtual closet. The fact is, there's an open gay community here in Charlotte. They work in our places of business and have leading positions and are fully protected by the law, and there are schools with gay curricula in them. There is no virtual closet. What he means is that they didn't like the presence of Christians in the midst of their gay pride events, so they took him to private property. This is the year, my friends, he writes, when Charlotte's queers rise up and say, we demand equality, we demand it now. So the gay pride event in the city is a political event. It is a politically charged event. You might say, well, it's equality. Well, no, it's redefining marriage. It's redefining family. It's redefining what the Bible says. It's redefining what should be taught to our children in schools. He writes, we've waited long enough and will no longer continue to reward or support politicians and other civic or religious leaders who fail to deliver on their promises and work to ensure all their constituents are equally protected by the full weight of law, policy, and practice. Well, of course, they're already equally protected. Of course, if someone beats up a gay person, they're going to be punished just as if they beat up a straight person, and maybe worse. And of course, the gay slanted curricula is already in schools in Charlotte. And sexual orientation and gender identity are these things already put under discrimination laws in our major school districts in Charlotte. And, I mean, I could go on and on and on. And you even have diversity training in the major companies where people are forced to sit through certain morality lessons, even if they have religious differences with them. And then they have nights where they'll take over a restaurant and just get a whole bunch of gay guys to show up at a restaurant one night and sit there in the chairs and make out. I'm serious. So there's no lack of protection. But no, that's not enough. The only thing that's enough was when those who oppose, those who differ, go in the closet. Those who take respectful issue are put in the closet. That's what it's coming to. I mean, I'm looking at this one guy. We finally had to ban him from posting on one site because of the profane level of what he was saying. But he's hoping that as we peacefully share the gospel in the midst of the gay pride event, just one-on-one walking through it, handing out bottles of water and talking to anyone who wants to talk to him, he's hoping for our destruction and arrest. Or the destruction of what we're doing and our arrest. And, you know, it's really a very, very remarkable thing that those who call for tolerance are, without question, the most intolerant people I've ever dealt with in my life. No matter what tone is set, no matter how gently you want to dialogue, no matter how much you say, well, you have your perspective, I have mine, we differ, is an extreme intolerance. And friends, we cannot cater to it. We must speak the truth in love and not cower. Come on. It's time for moral courage. It's time for us to be willing to go against the grain and swim against the tide. It's time for us to buck the popular trends of the media and the brainwashing beat that the drums of the media that comes continually. It's time for us to say, even if we're misunderstood, even if we're hated, even if we're rejected, even if there's some level of persecution that comes our way, we're going to stand up for what is right. So here's this article I just mentioned at the beginning of the program. One mom explained, the CNN article, I worry that kids will just assume that the traditional family structure is the right way. So kids don't need a mom and a dad. It's fine to have an institution where you guarantee a child will either have no mother or no father. And that's just fine. The CNN article, traditional family does not exist in the same way that it used to. My kids are friends with single parents, step parents, adoptive parents, and gay parents. So whatever is, let the whole family thing fall apart then. Let's just say that a single parent family is just as good as a two parent family. And let's just say that a broken home with divorce and remarriage is just as good as a home that doesn't have divorce and remarriage. And let's just say that a polyamorous home is just as good. Let's just say a gay home is just as good. Why not? Why not? Just a few days earlier, the New York Times coughed up this story written by a woman whose husband decided to become a woman. From the story, over time, I came to believe that my husband, as my wife, would be in most ways the same person, intelligent, compassionate, mature, with the same slim build. I had a relationship with a woman in my early 20s, so living as a lesbian was agreeable enough, though I mourned the societal ease we would lose. So no problem, because she had lived as a lesbian earlier, so now her husband becomes her wife, and they'll be lesbians, and that's just fine. Friends, we need divine intervention in our society. This is sick, and this is pathetic, and it's pathetic that we don't have a better way for people who are hurting and confused, and that's why we've got to pray and fast and seek the face of God, that his power to touch and heal and deliver and change people would be radical and real. Let me just read some of the story from Todd Starnes, New Jersey School District. Well, come on. Think, Mike. New Jersey School District yanks lesbian sex books from required summer reading list. Norwegian Wood was one of the books. According to Todd Starnes, FoxNews.com, a New Jersey school district has apologized to parents after requiring high school students to read books that include graphic depictions of lesbian sex and a homosexual orgy. This was required summer reading, friends. And how many books like this are on reading lists and in libraries and recommended to your kids that you never find out about? Some of the language is inappropriate, said Chuck Erling, superintendent of Monroe Township Schools in Williamstown, New Jersey. We were not trying to create controversy. We were just trying to get students to read. Oh, I'm sorry for sounding exasperated. This is the superintendent of Monroe Township Schools in Williamstown, New Jersey. A book with graphic depictions of lesbian sex and a homosexual orgy. And he says some of the language is inappropriate. Some of the that's what the superintendent of the school says. We're not trying to create controversy. We're just trying to get students to read. This is the superintendent of schools in the district. I was doing a radio interview yesterday, and the host said something to me that was something I never heard. It's a great line and very, very true. Mother was talking to her daughter about not wanting her to watch certain R-rated movies. And, you know, we don't want you to watch an R-rated movie. And the daughter said, but Mom, I go to an R-rated school. Oh, let me tell you, it's going to have more of an impact on your kid to be around kids doing the things that they see in the movies as opposed to just watching them on the movies. So this is just some of what's going on. The books were on a required summer reading list for middle school and high school students. The district decided to pull the book off the list with the start of school just days away. So this was the summer reading list. How many kids actually read? Look, friends, this kind of stuff happens a whole lot more. You don't believe me? Read my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Okay, just take the time to read it. in terms of the removal of religious rights, in terms of what's happening in schools, in terms of removal of freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. It's been happening for years. It's only intensifying. It's just here and there something hits the news. But this is reality. What are we going to do about it? We are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be the ones who bring about change through the gospel. Are we not? We are the ones who are called to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity as we seek to be every day on the broadcast here. So it's time to awaken, and it's time to stand, not in anger, but in love and in truth. Will you do it? Will you do what's right? We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some recent posts, and the venom is amazing. But what makes it amazing is it comes from people who claim to be followers of Jesus, practicing homosexuals and followers of Jesus at the same time. And when you say, hey, you know, the Word says this, and we do what we do because of what's written in the Word, and because of the love of God that compels us, and you get all the trash thrown back at you. Again, it's expected, but it makes you realize how much these people truly need Jesus. I'm giving again on the Line of Fire as we focus on our God Has a Better Way event this weekend in the midst of the Gay Pride event in Charlotte. I'm once again sounding an alarm, but reminding you that we have the grace, the victory in Jesus. It's not a battle with people. If we're in a messed up world, and there are a lot of hurting people of every kind, black, white, rich, poor, young, old, Jew, Gentile, all different kinds, sexually active, sexually not active, gay, straight, you name it. We're in a messed up world, a hurting world. Jesus is the answer. The goal is to see him exalted, not to see you win or me win or our side win. The goal is to see Jesus exalted in the changing of lives. And if we'll give ourselves to that, we'll see fruit. We'll see victory. And if we'll set ourselves to live right first, okay, so let's get our own lives in order. Live right first, number one. Number two, part of that living right, pursue God earnestly in prayer for his best, for his will, for his kingdom. Number three, reach out to hurting people, reach out to lost people, share the gospel. Number four, stand up for what's right. If we'll do that consistently, we'll see fruit. We'll see change. 866-34-TRUTH. Gyro in Miami, good to hear from you, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing, man.
I just wanted to share, you know, I think we're the church, the true church is between a rock and a hard place because, like you said a second ago, you know, we got to deal with the inside, the theology, the lukewarmness, the any which way it goes, you know, my way or the, and then at the same time, we also have to be a salt and light to the world. But I think unless we really, in my humble opinion, really stand our ground in the church, because it, just alone standing in the church can cost you something also, because, you know, the Lord said that let them both go together, the wheat and the tares, and in one house is vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, but I think we're between a rock and a hard place, and unless we really protest and put our money where our mouth is and protest and you know we hardly ever hear the word of you know blockades and you know not spend any money in this business or that business that sponsors these things and that are totally against God's will, and nobody's doing anything. And unless we go back to the basics of you know protesting our government, protesting in the public square and in our commissioners and our chambers and in our political arenas and so on, and be a voice out loud showing that that this is wrong, I think we're just complaining and murmuring it and not making a difference, but only to the few that know the difference.
Yeah, you know, the thing I like to think of is not even protesting as much as the other phrase used, being a voice, that we are God's voice in the earth. How will the world know the will of God? How will the world know the ways of God? How will the world know the person of God unless we live it out and unless we proclaim his word? So For me, it's a matter, like the gay pride event this week in Charlotte, we're not there to protest. We're there to declare a message with our presence and with our words to those that will speak with us that God has a better way. When we see other things, when we go out in the mission field and we take the gospel to Buddhist countries or Hindu countries or others, we're bringing that same message that God has a better way. And what we have to do, the idea of like boycotting and things like that, what we really have to do is act out of our conscience. If, in fact, we decided to boycott all the major companies that sponsored gay activism or were in harmony with gay activism, we wouldn't be able to use a computer. We wouldn't be able to fly a plane. We wouldn't be able to drive a car. We wouldn't be able to, I mean, it just goes throughout our society. But there are personal decisions that I make, though, with certain companies that I know that I've dealt with personally, like Starbucks, for example. I'm not a coffee drinker. Never been a coffee drinker in my whole life. You know, I used all these drugs as a teenager, but never smoked a cigarette, never had a cup of coffee. But many times while traveling, you know, I want to get maybe some water at a Starbucks place. They're all over the airports. I like chocolate, you know, one of their brownies or something. But just as a personal matter of conscience, unless someone meets me somewhere and wants to take me to Starbucks, then I don't make a scene about it. But just as a personal matter of conscience, because I interacted with Starbucks years ago, and I interacted with them when there were a lot of lewd things taking place in the gay pride event in our city. And others, you know, took pictures and we sent them to Starbucks and we said, hey, you know, there's a lot of vulgar stuff here, and you really don't want to be sponsoring this and behind it and so on. And when they said, no, we're pro-diversity, I said, well, this is not diversity. Heterosexual or homosexual, this stuff is bad and has no place in a public park, you know, and have this hot, you know, hot nudist camp booth where there was pornography and little kids could walk in there and other things going on. And, you know, and folks had pictures and sent it to them. So because they interacted with me in such a way, and I documented in A Queer Thing Happened to America, that's my personal conscience thing. The last thing is I think I'm going to put them out of business or hurt them or have a call for a national boycott against them, because, again, you got to boycott almost everybody. But we should act our conscience. And Jarl, I agree with you that we can just sit around and grumble, all these bad things happen, all these bad people, or we can say, okay, we're in a messed up world. It's always been a messed up world. Before Jesus came, it was messed up. It's messed up for those that still reject him. So let's do something about it. And first and foremost, though, it starts in the house of God. It starts with us. Hey, always good to hear from you, man. God bless you, buddy. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls shortly on the other side of the break. On our website, AskDrBrown.org, if you'll click on Coalition of Conscience, we don't send people there a whole lot. It's more just a base for some action that we do locally as a network of leaders and believers working together for moral and cultural change through the gospel. That's what the Coalition of Conscience is. But if you'll go there, all right, so AskDrBrown.org, then click on the Coalition of Conscience, you'll find under resources some really helpful videos, all for free, that you can watch, all right? All for free. I've got about an hour and a half lecture on the Bible and homosexual practice, separating fact from fiction. It's a real eye-opener, and it's done with grace. Then there's another video that's there, again, free to watch. Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual prejudice? And then there's another video where I have a debate dialogue with gay activist Harry Knox about a Christian response to homosexuality. So all those are there for you, along with some other links, resources dealing with the subject of same-sex marriage and things like that. So take advantage of the resources. That's AskDrBrown.org. Click on Coalition of Conscience. Everything on the website is free. And if you want to stand with us, if you'd like to help us with a one-time donation, if you're blessed by the broadcast, want to help with a one-time donation, or become a monthly torchbearer, hold our hands up as we're on the front lines by God's grace, making a difference, being a voice, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. Our team's ready to hear from you, and we'd love to join, partner together to make a difference for the kingdom. 1-800-278-9978. Fear not, Jesus is Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, as always, delighted to be with you. We're talking about the fact that we really are in the midst of a very serious moral and cultural revolution right now. My battle is not with people. There is a battle of ideology. There is a spiritual battle. But make no mistake about it. There are those that want to radically change our society as we know it from many different angles. And there are those who say that God's ways are best. Now, can I make this clear? My goal is not to establish a theocracy in America. Look, I'm a Jew, all right? And I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. But we don't have the best track record when Christians say, okay, we've made this into a Christian nation. All right, so I'm not saying we must establish America as a Christian nation and everyone must follow the Christian religion. No, we have a free society where people can follow what religion they want or not follow religion. And if they don't break laws, they have all kinds of freedoms here in America. And within our system, using the laws and pushing the laws as much as they can in their favor, there are people who want to change the very nature of our country in ways that I feel and many feel are destructive and harmful. So as a citizen, I have every right to speak up for what I believe. I have every right to vote for candidates who believe certain things. Look, an atheist candidate can run for office, can he not? An atheist candidate can run for office. A Muslim candidate can run for office. A Christian candidate can run for office. And all of them, they may have certain moral views based on their religious or non-religious beliefs, and that's perfectly fine. And then we can vote for them or not, according to what we feel is best. And when someone says we're going to redefine marriage, I say that's not in the best interest of our society. I oppose it. When someone says we're going to sexualize children by introducing them to concepts about sexual orientation when they're in kindergarten and first grade, they don't even have a clue what it is. I'm not talking about teaching a kindergartner sex acts. We're talking about teaching a kindergartner there's such a thing as gay, lesbian, bisexual. They have no need to know. They have no clue about sexual orientation. And to say that parents who differ with that are now bigoted and hateful and on and on. No, we differ. And when people want to hold a gay pride event in our city and loudly, proudly proclaim their political values and their religious beliefs, we say we differ. And we have every right to differ. And by God's grace, our witness will make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to get into a few more news items shortly, but first, back to the phones. Carlton in Staten Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's Hello. Always a pleasure. I love the show, 2 to 3 in New York. Best. I was joining today's discussion, and I just have a thought on, because the caller before mentioned that, you know, maybe we should, you know, get involved in protests and things of that nature. What I was telling your call screener is that perhaps if the church had a more narrow view of their mission, you know, in this world, and particularly in the United States, if we made it our mission to declare God's word, to preach the gospel, because what God wants to do through the church is he wants to give light where there's death. You know, all the people that are in this world that don't know Christ, they're dead. You know, and that death will continue for all eternity unless, you know, they hear the word, and God calls to by that word and gives them light. You know, it's, the moral decency in this country has been decaying for decades. And I don't see any reason why it's going to not continue in that route.
Yeah, but, Carlton, let me just jump in because we've got a break here coming up. I absolutely agree with you that our first priority needs to be evangelism. First priority, of course, is that we live right, and then our priority in terms of what we're doing in our society. First and foremost, we have to give ourselves to winning the lost. We have to give ourselves to bringing people to Jesus. First and foremost, we don't ignore our social moral responsibilities, but first and foremost, winning people, making disciples, and then that will affect everything around us. All right, back with more. I'm going to share some fascinating interaction with you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, I just want to apologize to those who may have gone on our website late afternoon, early evening, each day looking for the shows for the previous day. We had someone else working on them, and there was a delay getting them online. They should be online on a regular basis, as always, before, shortly after the show, within a couple hours of when the last hour is completed. But the next hour of the broadcast, if you're unable to catch it in your city or online, go to our website later. You definitely want to catch it. We're going to be interviewing Jackie Hill and Timothy Brindle. God willing, they'll be in town this Saturday night to minister at a concert here in Charlotte, an outreach concert. And then I'll also be joined by Matt Barber from Liberty Counsel and Liberty University. We'll be talking about the case of the Florida teacher who was suspended from his job. It's just a ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, absurd case, but suspended from his job because he expressed on his Facebook page his strong dissatisfaction, his strong disagreement with the passage of same-sex marriage in New York. And just remember, he lives in Florida, where same-sex marriage was banned and natural, organic, God-ordained marriage was upheld. So that's within his own state, where this is the law anyway. And the idea, well, students might feel uncomfortable if they went in this class, knowing what he believed. First, this is a private Facebook page. Well, Facebook's open to the public, but it's his private page. Yes? Private Facebook page. Private time, private computer. Wasn't even done at the school or on a school website or something like that. But okay, kids might be uncomfortable. You mean they're not openly gay teachers in schools? Openly lesbian teachers in schools? And some kids might not be comfortable with that? They're not straight teachers who celebrated the passage of same-sex marriage? Kids will be uncomfortable with that. So again, it's just this extraordinary double standard and outrage. I read a book a number of years ago by Alan Sears and Craig Austin, which I highly recommend, The Homosexual Agenda. There are two attorneys leading the Alliance Defense Fund. The Homosexual Agenda, The Principal Threat to Religious Freedom in America Today. It was an eye-opener. And as I've done intensive research in, say, the 7 years since, what they wrote then, as documented and clear as it was, is only the tip of the iceberg. So I was interacting with someone on our God Has a Better Way Facebook page, which ultimately we had to ban because of continual abusive posts. So we had to ban him. And unfortunately, that removed his other posts. But I think we have a bunch of them saved. He's assured us he saved all of his. But we're talking about the word abomination in the Hebrew Bible and in terms of homosexuality and Leviticus 18:22. So he posts, there are several Hebrew words that are translated as abomination, each of them meaning different sorts of abominations. Of course, the word toevah speaks of abomination as it related to idolatry. In Leviticus 18, specifically the idolatrous fertility cults of Canaan, into whose land the Hebrews were moving. For your information, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were also Canaanites, and in Ezekiel 16:49-50, the same Hebrew word is translated as abomination. The Hebrew word that speaks of sexual abomination is zima, and not used in any of those passages. Abusing scripture to prove one's point merely makes the person who is misusing it look untrustworthy. So I thought, well, this is the one I should respond to. It's on our own webpage, God Has a Better Way, just for our event this Saturday. So I wrote this, Will, you are quite incorrect. When it comes to the Hebrew word toevah, it is used explicitly for sexual sins in Leviticus 18:29. Furthermore, the word itself has nothing to do with idolatry unless it speaks of the idolatry as an abomination. Otherwise, it can refer to quite a few ethical and moral sins, as in Proverbs 6:16-19. With regard, and it literally means something detestable. With regard to the sexual sins listed in Leviticus, first, they were not just the sins of the Canaanites, but the Egyptians as well. See Leviticus 18:3. There is absolutely no proof that all of the incestuous sins listed in Leviticus are associated with fertility rites. Hardly. As for zima in Hebrew, it is used a number of times in totally non-sexual contexts and simply means a wicked device or plan. So in every point you made, you are incorrect philologically and exegetically, and your closing comment actually applies to you, sad to say. Quote, abusing scripture to prove one's point merely makes the person who is misusing it look untrustworthy. So with no insult intended, since you were wrong on each point made, could you tell me what lexicons you used? Somehow you were seriously misled. So here's how he responds. You are being dishonest when you say that. So I'm being dishonest. It happens to be my field. But I'm being dishonest when I write what I write, which I can back up with every lexicon and dictionary I own. You're being dishonest when you say that, but this is your site and you have every right to lie as you wish. So I'm being dishonest and I'm lying. I mean, this is the remarkable thing. When people can't face the truth, they accuse you of lying. Have you seen that happen? I'm seeing it constantly these days. When I interact with someone, rather than saying I differ with you or I differ with your interpretation, you're lying. It just makes you wonder about the ability to be honest with their own hearts and lives. You're being dishonest when you say that, but this is your site and you have every right to lie as you wish. I have studied this for years and I know the truth. I'm surprised that you, being a Jew, wouldn't know that. Could it be that being a Jew and being one who studied these things for years? Oh, by the way, the latest attack on me online is that I got a phony degree from a phony university. So I'll have to write to New York University and tell them they're now a phony university and the PhDs they issue are phony. I'm surprised that you, being a Jew, wouldn't know that. Of course you might, but that would begin to unravel your ministry. What a real shame that folks think that, well, I don't know. Does someone like that actually think they're right when you live in that level of denying things and accusing others of lying and being dishonest when they simply speak the truth to you? Can you be that secure in your own heart, your own life? 866-34-TRUTH. Hang on. Bob on Long Island. Well, we're in Nassau County, sir.
Over here in Wantagh.
Wantagh. All right. I grew up in Nassau County. What's on your mind?
I just wanted, I came in on program when you were speaking about, the free society. I just want to make one point. I think it's important to realize that all mankind are under the moral law, and the moral law is the Ten Commandments. So nobody is void or is not allowed to be under the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's something that... God instituted it. Came through the Jewish nation and into the Christian nation, and it's for all mankind. And so idolatry, if you're talking about idolatry, if you put anything before God, that's a false god. So right there, in that respect, all mankind is required to follow the laws. Now, whether they're going to do it or not, that's another thing. But it's our obligation to try to get the commandments out there and also get the gospel out there at the same time. This way things will take care of themselves, basically.
Well, certainly, if we live out the scriptures and preach the scriptures, it's going to make a massive difference in our society, without question. One thing, though, I'm curious about, do you feel that the Sabbath commandment is a universal commandment for the entire human race? Or how would that work out, say, here in America?
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part of that.
Yeah, the Sabbath commandment being one of the Ten Commandments, you say that the whole world is under the Ten Commandments. So do you believe that God is requiring America to honor the Sabbath? And then if so, which day of the week?
Well, I would say yes. I would say yes, because if God, instituted all the laws, then you just can't pick and choose the law that you want. Like, in other words, if you go back 20, 25 years ago, you'd be hard-pressed to find, or 35 years ago, stores to be so opened on Sunday. Now you got malls all over the place, and it's like the way of life. You know, I need something. I go to, okay, that's fine. If it's a necessity and you need something, but you know, the first requirement is to seek your Lord thy God.
All right. First. So just to understand one thing though, Bob, and I'm not challenging your view. I just want to understand, even though the Ten Commandments explicitly say to honor the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, which would be Saturday, you're saying that it should be honored as Sunday in America?
Well, for the Christian, yes, because for the Christian, the Lord rose.
What about for the just everybody else? I'm only raising this just to say that obviously there are a few more challenges with the concept of what you're saying, but bottom line is this: there are things, whether we argue about Sabbath or not, it's another question. There are things by which God judges all people. In other words, anyone to worship an idol, that's wrong. Anyone to murder someone, that's wrong. Anyone who steals, that's wrong. Anyone who commits adultery, that's wrong. Anyone who dishonors parents, that's wrong. So to the extent that we as Americans are breaking God's commandments, to that extent, we're under judgment. And to the extent that we honor God's commandments, to that extent, certainly, we're blessed. Hey, out of time, got a break, but God bless you, man. And look, you know, we've heard it many times. People get upset that 10 commandments are taken out of schools. How about us taking them out of our own hearts and lives? Back with more.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I first send out a thank you to all of you who pray for us? I sincerely mean that. We get emails and notes from folks that pray for us regularly. And look, I'm out on the road all the time, and people come up to me and say, hey, please remember me in prayer. And what I normally do is I pray right at that moment, and then I say, as the Lord brings you to mind. Well, if I remembered in prayer every person that's ever asked me to remember them in prayer, everywhere I've ever traveled, everyone's ever written to us, I would not be able to name all the names if I didn't sleep and if I did nothing else but pray for them by name 24/7. So I know that you can't pray for everybody. So if you do pray for us, I really appreciate it. I want to encourage you that God answers prayer. That God answers prayer. Some guy who was mocking and attacking us said, well, if God is with you in what you're doing, then he'll give you more influence and so on. But, you know, he said what we're doing, well, it's too profane to repeat, you know, and just lashing out at anyone that would listen to us and lash out at anyone that would read our materials and lash, you know, you're all a bunch of idiots and I'm the lead idiot would be the polite way of saying it. Which I was walking around my house today praising God in accordance with Jesus saying when people say vile things about you and lie about you, rejoice. And what a privilege and honor because it's all about Jesus and all for Jesus. But there's a lot of junk that comes our way. And we know that the purposes of God on earth will triumph. We know that the ways of God will triumph. We know that the word of God will triumph. We know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So we put our trust in the living God. And the greatest weapon we have is a spiritual weapon. It's not anger. It's not violence. It's a spiritual weapon. And it's people praying. I love the little quote from Thomas Watson, Puritan leader who had a lot of these pithy quotes in England, 1600s. He said when Peter was in prison and the church was praying earnestly in Acts 12, he said it was the angel that fetched Peter from prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. And another Puritan said that when we go to pray, the devil knows that we go to fetch strength against him. So he opposes us all he can. So your prayers make a difference. And I thank you for praying. I thank you for praying that God would give us a voice, that God would give us courage, that his anointing would be upon us. I deeply appreciate that the word we're speaking would penetrate lives and make a difference in many lives. So whatever fruit we see as you're praying for us, thank you. And those that are our torchbearers, our faithful band of monthly supporters, boy, I can't thank you enough because I know it's tight economic times for many. I know there's so many ministries deserving of funds and support. I know, excuse me, if you send money our way that you didn't send it somewhere else or use it somewhere else for yourself because everyone has limited funds. So thank you. From the bottom of my heart, if I saw you face to face, you would feel the warmth in my heart. Hopefully you can feel it over the radio, but thank you for standing with us on a monthly basis. You uphold what we do. You are a backbone to what we do. And every day as we're sending out free materials, as we're sending out free books, as we're sending out free tapes, as we're putting more free material online, as our team is ministering to people behind the scenes, you're part of that. As I go and preach in different nations and as we broadcast the hub of what we do every day, the hub of our entire ministry, right here on radio, 2 hours a day, where we have the greatest focus, the greatest energy, the greatest financial investment, you're really playing a role with us. So thank you. Thank you so much. And those that have helped us time to time in different ways or or encourage others to listen or send people to our website or bought our materials and shared them with others, thank you. Together, we are making a difference. Look, right here in Charlotte, just by people going into the midst of a gay pride event, which especially up through 2005 had a lot of vulgar, profane things, which we said to the city council, to the mayor, working together with other ministries, we've been privileged to work with other ministries in the city as a joint effort here. But we said to the city council and the mayor, look, this is inappropriate, be it heterosexual, homosexual, these things are inappropriate for a public park with children and so on. And we prayed, we sought the Lord, we sent 125 people into the midst of the event. Again, when I say we, these were joint efforts in the city here. And people just went with love. I told them, look, your goal is to be invited to people's home for a meal today. Your goal is to be a friend of sinners. And at the end of the day, our folks had several hundred quality conversations, great conversations, got to pray with people, hurting people, people in need, people just needed love. People just needed someone to give them some attention for a little while. People that were hungry for the gospel. People that were resistant, but then listened as we talked. And the amazing thing, just being in the midst of that event while others were preaching around the event, had such a dramatic impact that everything's changed since then. That the organizers shut things down the next year and someone else had to pick it up. That they ultimately moved to private property for years. That the event has been radically toned down in terms of public displays. Almost all the junk that used to be publicly displayed is not anymore. Dramatic differences. And this year, the first year that they're saying, okay, we're coming right back into the heart of the city and got three city blocks and want to get a message out, we say, hey, you have a right to be there legally, and we have a right to be there and to say God has a better way and to interact with you and to hand out bottles of water. And if you want to talk with us, pray with us, fine. Otherwise, we'll just walk through your event. The amount of uproar, the amount of protest, the amount of people upset, and we're going to get and the police. And of course, we met with the police, and we do everything in an upright, outstanding way. And police have said to us, if this was the way it was done in every city, and if people had the guidelines that you put out for your people in every city, it would be wonderful. That's what the police and their attorney told us when we met with them a couple of years ago. So we do everything in a God-glorifying way. But it's just amazing that people just standing up can make a massive difference. You can make a difference in your school district, in your business, in your community. And you say, oh, I'm not a leader type. Well, find others that can work together and throw your voice in and say, Lord, I'm here to make a difference. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I don't just want to live my life talking about what could have been and what should have been. I want to make a difference. And right now, we've got this massive societal issue, homosexual activism, sweeping through our nation. The changes have been so dramatic, no one could have even predicted this some years back. They've happened by the grace of God. We're here to make a difference. We're here to show a better way. Do pray for us, friends. We solicit your prayers. We covet your prayers. You go to church prayer meetings and you listen to the show and you talk about it. Hey, pray for us too. If you can become a monthly torch bearer, stand with us on a monthly basis and support the work, how awesome. Or if you want to send a one-time donation to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. That's always the number to call. Our team's standing by ready to help you. We also have special resources available this week. You can ask about those when you call. That's 1-800-278-9978. You can write to us directly at P.O. Box 5546. Got that? 5546 Concord, North Carolina, 28027. That's 28027. And remember to visit the website with all the resources there at askdrbrown.org. All right, I'm out of time. Here's my bottom line. God can save with many. God can save with few. God can save through famous people. God can save through unknown people. The question is, will you be one of those people? Will you be one of those few, one of those many that stands up and says, here I am. I want to make a difference. The Lord spoke to us almost 7 years ago to reach out and resist. How does that work out in the local Charlotte community? What happens when God gives you a commission that affects your own backyard?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, we are going to have quite a broadcast today. I've got a lot to share with you, and I've got a bunch of special guests, three of them actually, that'll be with us through this next hour. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, many of you know how the Lord called us to deal with issues concerning homosexual activism at the same time reaching out to the homosexual community with the message of the gospel. It began to burden me in 2004, quite out of the blue. A local ministry here in Charlotte had been involved in preaching the gospel at a gay pride event. They invited some of our folks to visit the event. This was May of 2004. We had just moved here the previous fall. And our ministry had relocated here from Pensacola the previous fall. And our folks were shocked by what was happening in the middle of a gay pride event here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, still part of the Bible Belt here, theoretically. Charlotte, North Carolina, gay pride event in the heart of the city, Marshall Park, beautiful park, little children walking around, vulgar public displays. And our folks were escorted out for preaching the gospel. Escorted out at that time. And it was... It was quite a shocker. There's nothing disruptive going on. There was nothing. They were just walking through with Bibles or Jesus t-shirts, trying to talk with people, escorted out by the police, which wasn't even legal. And God started to stir my heart, not in our city. Of course, others had this vision already. Now it started to come into my heart. And God started to burden me that in truth, the principal threat to religious freedom that we had, the principal threat to freedom of conscience that we had in our society was homosexual activism. The principal threat to our moral values was the redefining of marriage and family through gay activism. And gay activists on their part said they're just fighting for equality and tolerance. So this is never, to me, a battle with people. This was a spiritual battle and a battle for people's souls, ultimately. Well, here's what happens. Here's what happens. The burden begins to deepen in us. A number of other things happen. Gay activist organizations make it clear they want Charlotte to be a model city in between Atlanta and D.C. and so on and see their goals realized here. And again, this thing not in our city. And the Lord spoke to me clearly January of 2005. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the homosexual community with compassion. Resist homosexual activism with courage. Well, as a result of our ministry in the midst of the park, when I say our, the different believers, different organizations, different churches coming together in Charlotte to share the gospel in the midst of the gay pride event. Things changed so dramatically in 2005, 2006. Just our presence there making a radical difference that they relocated their events, had them on private property specifically to keep us out. We could still just walk through, but you couldn't have a large number of people and it just changed everything. Well, they've decided enough with that. And a local gay activist wrote this in March. Charlotte's LGBT community is coming out loud, proud, and strong. Though it isn't the first time we've done so, we're reclaiming now after years of silent and I'd say willful subjugation, our rightful place in the public square. 5 years ago, Fred Phelps, wannabe so-and-so, claimed a Crusades-like victory over Charlotte's gays, but this year the Charlotte LGBT community's virtual closet will be opened again. Since a friend of mine was slandered here, spoken against in an ugly way, I didn't want to quote his name. This year, the Charlotte LGBT community's virtual closet will be opened again. This is the year, my friends, when Charlotte's queers rise up and say, we demand equality, we demand it now. We've waited long enough and will no longer continue to reward or support politicians and other civic or religious leaders who fail to deliver on their promises. He's saying we'll be out and proud. Well, friends, we'll be there with a gospel presence, even with a concert outreach this Saturday night.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What is a PC4M poet? You're about to find out. This Saturday, God willing, if weather cooperates, we will be in the midst of the Gay Pride event. Hundreds of believers from the greater Charlotte area, even coming from Orlando and Virginia, will be joining together to walk through the event peacefully in a law-abiding way and to share the message that God has a better way in the midst of a Gay Pride event. And then Saturday night, weather permitting outdoors, otherwise we'll come up with an indoor plan, we'll be having an outreach concert with some special guests, Jackie Hill and Timothy Brindle, joining us. Before I bring Jackie on the air, let's hear some of her poetry.
As my wooden nose of sin grew long because of me lying to myself. Instead of me dying to myself, I was willing to die for myself. There was no blue fairy whispering in my ear, only the devil and me telling me what I wanted to hear. There was no Geppetto pulling on my strings. I attached myself to them things, being pulled and manipulated by my flesh and them spiritual beings. The more my wood of sin would grow, I could see it in my face. I can see the wood in my face. I can see him stretched out on the wood in my face, being disgraced for the sin I was committing in his face, even though I saw his blood on the wood in my face, seeing taking the wrath of the Father on the wood in my place. I still spat in his face, but his grace is sufficient.
Whoa. Jackie, I could listen to that all day. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast today.
How are you?
Oh, great. That's some of the strongest stuff out there. And when I heard you're going to be able to join us on Saturday night, I was thrilled. Hey, what's this PC4M or P4? What does that stand for?
It's actually P4CM, and it stands for Passion for Christ Movement. And
yeah,
a church that I was a part of.
Yeah, I thought I had it wrong, but if I got it wrong, you could correct it there. So you were a certified P4CM poet.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. And Jackie, you've got a dynamic testimony. You knew about Jesus, and yet you fell into sin as a teenager. What happened?
With me going into homosexuality?
Yes.
I had, like I say in the poem, I was molested at like 4 or 5. So I always had temptations of the same sex. But because I knew it was wrong, and I tell people I didn't know it was wrong because I heard a preacher off the pulpit. I knew it was wrong because my conscience, like when I was 5 in the playground messing with little girls, something told me it was wrong, and that's why I hid, stuff like that. So when I was like 17, a girl basically tried to hit on me, and I really liked it, and I had this battle in my mind, like this would be the only chance I get to try it. I had dreams all my life about trying it, and so I did, and liked it too much. So from there, I was just full-fledged into the lifestyle.
And what happened to your conscience during this time, Jackie?
It was bad. I was always convicted. Like, I was always very convicted, and I was always scared to go to sleep because I knew God had the power to take my life, and I knew I would go to hell. But, like, I began to smoke weed more. Like, I would always smoke weed before I went to sleep so that I wouldn't have to deal with those thoughts. Pretty much, but I enjoyed it so much that I was able to start. I started convincing myself that I could wait to the rapture, stuff like that.
All right, now, Jackie,
convincing myself that hell really wouldn't be that bad.
Right. Yeah. All the rationalizing. So Jackie, there'd be people in the gay and lesbian community, homosexual community, that would say, Jackie, your problem was that you were in a homophobic church or a homophobic environment. And right. It wasn't really your conscience. It wasn't really the Lord dealing with you. It was just the society around you that had so conditioned
right.
you. You were in a guilt trip. What would you say to those people?
I would continue to remind them when I was in second grade in a cabin and on preschool, being with a young girl, I had not been preached to about homosexuality yet. Yet I knew it was just as bad as stealing. Because if I naturally knew that it was okay, I could have did what I did with her out in the open with all the teachers watching. Mm-hmm. But I knew something inside of me telling, no, something like this needs to be a secret. Something like this is not okay, you know, for authorities to see. So I would show them that, like, yeah, it has nothing to do with society. It had to do with that conscience that God placed in all of us.
And how did the Lord bring you out of this? So you're active with other women. You're enjoying your sin. You're now getting high to try to push away the voice of God and the conviction. What transformation do you experience? What happened to you?
Man, I was in my bed. I was in a relationship with a woman that I speak about on the phone. I said I really considered going to hell for her. And a voice spoke to me so clear, saying that she will be the death of you. And I really think it was a supernatural thing where God really opened up my mind to the reality of this life and how temporary it was. And so in my mind, I began to count the cost. I was in Luke, and I was like, I was comparing everything I love now to eternity in hell. I was like, wow, it's really not that worth it. And so I was just like, okay, God, like, I'm good. And I just turned from it, like, literally that day. And, been done with it ever since. That was like 3 years ago.
Now, did you find out, Jackie, that people were praying for you during those days?
I did.
Yeah, because, you know, when God initiates and works in our lives, before I was saved, I was shooting heroin, and, you know, it was 40 years ago. You wouldn't think it if you met me today with my gray hair and this whole bit. But, you know, I was shooting heroin and getting high every way I knew how. They used to call me Drug Baron, Iron Man, because I lived such a crazy drug-filled life. But I had no guilt.
Wow.
I even stole money from my own father, Jackie, and I loved him dearly, and I had no guilt. And then I went to this little church. Here I was Jewish. I didn't believe in Jesus. I went to this little church, and people started praying for me. And next thing, I'm struggling because the drugs I'm doing are keeping me up at night, and I'm feeling guilty. So I switched to drugs that didn't keep me up at night to try to fight the guilt. But I found out that they were praying for me, and the Holy Spirit chased me down. So
wow.
let's be honest with our listeners. I've heard your testimony. I've heard your poems. I believe you, but I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, all right?
Okay.
So Jackie, you have suppressed who you really are. You've come to terms with your conscience, but every day you know deep down inside that you still are a lesbian. Be honest with yourself. You really haven't changed. Speak to those who've said those things to you.
One, that's a lie. It makes me laugh. Somebody told me that before. And, it's just like, it's either the Bible is absolute authority or my feelings are. And to me, when I hear the scripture say that those that are in Christ are new creatures, I believe it with all of me. Like, my temptations or how I may feel on days does not govern how God sees me. And yes, I'm tempted at times. Yes, I'm tempted with lust, with weed, with perversion, with greed, with all these things, but that doesn't make me what I'm tempted by. Does that make sense?
Oh,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to say I suppress it is just silly because that's such a natural response. You don't understand a supernatural conversion, so you're going to say something like that.
Yes.
Because you don't understand how God does the impossible.
Yeah, I mean, shout it from the rooftops, Jackie. We're talking about the supernatural power of God. And,
right.
You know, the thing that's amazing is in my own life, the idea of not shooting dope was, I couldn't imagine saying I'm not going to do that anymore. I couldn't believe, you know, I could ever think I'll never do that again. But when God really made himself real to me in a deep way, December 17th of 71, I said, that's it. I'll never put a needle in my arm again. And I was free from that day on. And it really is the power of God. And I remember a gal called in, and she had come out of lesbianism, but she said she also used to be a glutton. And she was obese, and she had these other issues. And she said to her, same-sex temptation is no different to her than temptation to overeat or temptation to get high or temptation to get drunk. You know, sin is sin, and that's all it is. But we are changed people. Listen, Jackie, we are really looking forward to meeting you this weekend and letting folks in Charlotte hear the words that come in an anointed way from your own lips. And, Jackie, if folks want to watch some of your clips on YouTube or other places, what's the best way for them to find you?
The best way is to just type my name in. If you type in JACKIEHILL, Jackie Hill, all of my poems should pop up.
Awesome. And if they also type in P4CM, they'll get to some other folks as well. Hey, keep standing strong for Jesus. We love and appreciate you and look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thanks for being
God
with us.
You.
All right. this weekend, we're also going to be joined with by Timothy Brindle. If you've never heard some of Timothy's expression of the gospel in music, you're in for a treat. In fact, Timothy's waiting online. He's going to join us momentarily. But when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to hear some of Timothy's music, some of his gospel message in a form that some of you are used to, some aren't. But I'm telling you, a dynamic message going forth, touching a lot of people. If you're in the greater Charlotte area, remember, join us this Saturday night, Marshall Park, at 7 p.m. for the outreach concert. There'll be testimony. There'll be ministry from Timothy and Jackie. There'll be an opportunity to respond and receive prayer. Oh, and if there's some weather issues, keep listening to the show. By Friday, we'll have some alternative venues. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, this Saturday night in Charlotte, in response to the Gay Pride event in our city, we will be having an outreach concert declaring that God has a better way. And one of our guests that will be ministering is Timothy Brindle. He's with us on the phone. We'll be talking to him in a moment, but first, we're going to dive right into the midst of Timothy Brindle's ministry in music and the word.
Check it out now. If you ever cross ways to meet or came to greet a limbo cat on the train or street, it may seem strange that we shake your hand and always say the same thing, grace and peace. Well, if it seems different, then listen please, cause we ain't just spitting some Christianese. No, this is the way that Paul addresses the people of God in all his letters. It's very reminiscent of Aaron's benediction. The word grace in Greek is charis when it's written, and peace is referring to Hebrew shalom, which is total well-being from the seed of his throne. It flows forth from the Father and the Son. Because of the cross, he was slaughtered when he hung. So now to the living God we can come.
All right. I just want to whet your appetite. Now we talk to the man himself. Hey, Timothy, thanks for joining us on the broadcast today.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be over the air with you, Dr. Brown.
Well, thanks, man. And we can't wait to see you Saturday night. If we've got some weather issues, we'll come up with an indoor alternative. But one way or another, we are going to receive the ministry of Timothy Brindle this weekend.
Praise the Lord.
So I have to tell you, as a drummer and as someone who likes powerful words with a strong beat, I really had to fight myself to fade that out and tell our guys, all right, let's fade it down. So we'll tell folks how they can get more exposed to your music and ministry. But how did you get this burden to express yourself in this particular way?
Good question, Dr. Brown. You know, it's interesting how the Lord even uses evil for our good and for his glory. When I first was exposed to hip-hop, I was in the world, an unbeliever, grew up in hip-hop culture in inner-city Pittsburgh, and the Lord, you know, behind all of that kind of allowed me to tone my craft, even though most of my music, or I should say all of my music, was not pleasing to him at the time. Mm-hmm. I was basically a what they call a battle rapper, battle MCs. What they do is they get into battles with other MCs and basically exalt themselves and seek to belittle the other MC as much as possible. And then we would record it too and put out music. I was in the middle of putting out some projects with a secular group that I was in, and that's when I got rescued and just really out of the blue got saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who brought me to himself. So then at that point, by God's providence, I was connected to a brother named Shai Lin, who really just started pouring into me and taking me through Romans. And I'd say, you know, a year later, when I began to write again, you know, Christ and his gospel is what came out. So just to give you a brief story about that.
By the way, we'll have to compare notes when you're out here, because I know that Shai Lin has been influenced by my friend James White.
And, yes, that's right.
And James and I have actually debated Calvinism on his show and mine. We're buddies and colleagues and have some good debates and work together. So great to hear about the gospel influence. So Timothy, this particular form of music, it's much more common now in church circles these days, especially for outreach. Do you still run into folks that have a hard time with it, or think that God can't use this particular form to communicate his message?
Yeah, you do. You do run into that. You definitely do. I think usually when people haven't heard really Christ-centered material that seeks to really express just the richness of who Jesus is and what he's done, those are usually the people. There is, unfortunately, in the church, plenty of Christian hip-hop or gospel rap, as they call it, that is not maybe as convincing to a non-hip-hop person as being something that God could use. My experience has been a lot of times when people do hear stuff that really does emphasize Christ and his atonement and other things, that usually they're pretty, they're usually able to be persuaded and just see it as another means for the Lord to communicate himself to people.
Excellent. Yeah, especially they hear the words and the message is so clear. And that is something about the hip-hop rap form that you can get a lot of word content in, much more than your average song. Hey, we've just got about 2.5 minutes before the break, but this event is an outreach for anyone, and believers will be there. We trust they'll be edified. But above all, we'd love for those that identify in the homosexual community to come out and hear the message. Do you have any particular sense of connection or sympathy towards those that identify as gay and lesbian?
Absolutely, Dr. Brown. The Lord, speaking of him using evil for good, I experienced some things as a child, some molestation that occurred that really put my whole mindset and sexuality in just a whirl growing up into adolescence and into my teenage years, and just getting to know Christ and the depth of his love and that his cross work is really all sufficient for the most broken, needy sinner. And having experienced Jesus' abounding grace and continuing to see my need for it and him meeting that need in the gospel, it definitely gives me a heart for these people, which really are not any different than us, according to Romans 1, in that they've traded away God's glory for lies and for images, and so have we. Maybe if we haven't twirled down to the bottom of the spiral as much as them, at the end of the day, we're all in need of Christ's righteousness, of his shed blood.
Absolutely.
So yeah, making that clear to them is definitely something I'm excited to, a little nervous as well.
Oh, well, listen, you've got the message in your heart, and you've got the message in song and in hip-hop rap, so it'll come out loud and clear. And look, the fact is, every one of us has fallen short in one way or another.
Right.
Like, and when I've done debates with rabbis, and a rabbi said, well, if I reject Jesus, am I going to hell? I'm a moral person. I'm this and that. And they are. I mean, in many, many ways, by human standards, they excel. And I said, look, man, you could drown in 100 feet of water, but you could also drown in 10 feet of water. And that's the case with the human race. And it's the mercy of God by which we stand. So we'll be welcoming you to Charlotte for your visit this weekend. And if folks just search online, if they type in Timothy Brindle, I just did, and a lot of material comes up. Anywhere in particular you'd like to send them online for your material?
No, that's fine. Yeah, going to YouTube is fine. I think all of the songs are on there. My website is lampmode.com. That's lamp like a light lamp, lampmode.com. And there'll be some information about some other projects coming out soon on there. But Dr. Brown,
excellent.
I'm honored to be on the radio with you. I've been blessed and ministered to by some of your material, as well as you speaking on the Hazekim album.
That's right. Yeah,
that's how I first became aware of you.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we are more connected than we realize. Look forward to seeing you in a few days. Thanks for joining us, man. God bless.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Bye.
All right. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome time here in Charlotte. Be praying. Again, depends on what happens with weather in terms of exactly what our outreach will look like, but it will be a day where the Lord is glorified. We come back, we'll be hearing from attorney Matt Barber. Oh, please be sure that you are seated when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, the attacks keep coming. They get more interesting by the day. Folks who don't like my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, most of whom haven't read it, call it a book in quotes. It's not really a book, just 700 pages of meticulous research, but it's not really a book. And then a doctor in front of my name, that gets put in quotes by people who don't like me, and someone was upset that I got a phony degree from a phony university. So we have to notify NYU that the degrees they're handing out, PhDs they've handed out, are phony. And then got blasted the other day that I am a silly, phony activist. But I'm a silly, phony activist who's, quote, going to disrupt the gay pride event this weekend. Of course, I'm not going to disrupt anything unless the presence of Jesus disrupts things. We'll be there as a peaceful witness in the midst of the gay pride event. But so I'm, even though we're doing things actively, I'm a phony activist. Well, I'm probably going to be joined by another phony activist as well, who's probably a phony attorney at a phony school with tens of thousands of phony students following a phony God. I mean, where are you going to end it? That's what we're dealing with. And it's a delight to be in the service of God today. Jesus said to rejoice when people revile you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely for the gospel. And we do rejoice because it's our honor to be associated with Jesus and to bear reproach for his name. And I want to alert you to some things that have been happening by someone who's right in the thick of these and even an eyewitness to them. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call, our website, askdrbrown.org. It's my joy to welcome to the broadcast Matt Barber. Matt is with Liberty Counsel, one of the lead Christian organizations standing for righteousness in America, in the courts today, fighting many of the most important cases in the nation, and is the Associate Dean of the Liberty Law School and a man who speaks out fearlessly for the gospel. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Dr. Brown, how are you, my phony friend? I guess this conversation is phony.
Yeah, and it's probably a phony radio show, and people are listening in phony cars and in phony computers. There are two things I want to talk to you about, and you're in the thick of both of those. So we'll get started now, and then after our first break, we'll pursue them. One, with this teacher in Florida, teacher of the year, been in this district, what, 22 years, and you've taken up that case now. Liberty Counsel has. What in the world is this? Give our viewers, give them an overview of what's happening and the outrage of this particular case.
Sure. Jerry Buell, who's last year's Teacher of the Year at Mount Dora High School in Florida, has been suspended from his job, from teaching in the classroom, for a post that he put a status update on his personal Facebook page from his home computer in his home, indicating his opposition to the ridiculous and oxymoronic notion of so-called same-sex marriage. That's my commentary, not his. And was summarily suspended when a former student who graduated in 2002, who never even took his class, reported this hate crime to the Mount Dora High School administration, and so they decided, I guess, that they know best, they know better than the founding fathers and the framers of the United States Constitution, and that our First Amendment apparently no longer applies. So he has been suspended from his job for expressing his own cultural / political opinion, of course, the very thing that the First Amendment is intended to protect.
All right, we've just got less than a minute before the break, but what was the school's rationale for suspending him?
Well, they're saying that this may violate their code of ethics, of course, because apparently their code of ethics says that if you don't toe the line on their beliefs relative to homosexuality and sexual behavior, then you are in violation of their code of ethics. And so the First Amendment, since it does no longer applies, everyone must toe the line, quote, marriage equality line, as long as we're using scare quotes today.
All right. Yep, we're using the quotes, Matt. All right, we will be back with Matt Barber. He's going to tell you about a conference he just attended. You're not going to believe what you hear.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Stand the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, about to reintroduce my guest, Matt Barber, with Liberty Counsel and Liberty Law School, part of Liberty University. Just had the privilege of being up on the campus there a couple of weeks ago to see what's happening, and really quite astounding to see what's been built up. They're in constant expansion. They've got a massive number of online students as well. And the law school's really doing a great job. Very, very impressive just to go up there and see the facilities. So, Matt, before we get into the conference that you attended, let's just flesh out the situation in Florida a little bit further with this teacher who got suspended for posting something on his own Facebook page, his personal time, his personal computer, his personal views. In Florida, what's the law as far as same-sex, quote, marriage? Have the voters voted on that?
Yeah, and that's the irony here, of course, is he's suspended for saying that he, in using colorful language, not foul language, nothing inappropriate, but saying on his Facebook page that he opposes same-sex marriage. He's suspended for that from government officials, the school district, yet you may recall that Florida recently passed a marriage amendment to the Florida state constitution that maintains the age-old definition of marriage as between one man and one woman. So since same-sex marriage is illegal in Florida, it just kind of adds to the ridiculous nature of this entire thing. But it's more than ridiculous. Again, it's unconstitutional.
Yeah, and you know, I've been warning folks about this for years. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, there's a whole chapter, Big Brother is Watching, and he really is gay. But you're involved in these cases all the time. I mean, this is not isolated. It's gotten the attention of the nation. This is not isolated. How do you feel about your chances in court? What is your expectation of what's going to happen?
Well, okay, let's remove for a minute the possibility of a judicial activist, which can and does happen. Clearly, any reasonable read on the First Amendment, this is a textbook instance in which the government has overreached and is quashing and chilling an individual's religious liberties, A, and free speech liberties, B. And the First Amendment was put in place specifically to protect political speech, of course, but unpopular speech. And so what we see happening here is something called a heckler's veto, which the courts have said over and again is unconstitutional. That's somebody saying, hey, I don't like what that individual said, so shut them down. And if they scream loud enough and make enough of a fuss, why, the government steps in and shuts them down. Well, that is unconstitutional clearly here. And so, the Constitution grants a lot of rights in the Bill of Rights, but one of those rights is not a right not to be offended. But in our politically correct country in this day and age, and particularly around this issue of homosexuality, any opposition to this demonstrably destructive lifestyle or activism or trying to radically redefine the institution of marriage, any of that is considered hate speech in this kind of Orwellian trajectory that we find ourselves on.
Yeah, it's utterly remarkable. And another thing that's utterly remarkable is that the same arguments that have been used to normalize or legitimize or depathologize homosexuality, namely that it's inborn, that it's unchangeable, that it's found throughout nature, that it's found throughout other cultures, and that it's not harmful in itself, and that the people practicing it are well-adjusted, not troubled, therefore it should not be considered a disorder of any kind, and it gets removed from the books in 1973 by the American Psychiatric Association, and all the other groups follow suit. The same arguments are being put forward to justify something even more shocking, even more abhorrent. You were just at a conference, an academic conference. Tell us about this, Matt.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that we're going to even have this conversation, but I was at a conference put on by a pedophile group called Before You Act. I was there to monitor, along with my friend Dr. Judith Riesman, one of the foremost authorities on Alfred Kinsey, who really is responsible for where we are today. There's a pre-Kinsey America and a post-Kinsey America. We were there monitoring, and they know and knew exactly who we were. Dr. Fred Berlin with Johns Hopkins University was the keynote speaker. This was about half of the people there were elitist academics who are so tolerant that they're supporting the idea of child rape. And then the other half of the people that were there were self-defined MAPS. And of course, they don't like to be called pedophiles because that's stigmatizing. MAPS are minor attracted persons. We have to use the euphemistic and flowery language of the left. But Dr. Brown, you would not believe what was said, what I heard. And indeed, Dr. Berlin acknowledged that it was political activism, as you mentioned, in 1973, that we witnessed in 73, similar to that I witnessed at the conference that successfully led to the declassification of homosexuality or homophilia as a mental disorder. So they're there to try to do the same thing because, quote, pedophiles are unfairly stigmatized and demonized by society, those poor victimized pedophiles.
Right, and the same arguments are used. I lay them out, and a queer thing happened to America. I've made it very clear to homosexuals I'm interacting with, I'm not calling you a pedophile. I'm simply saying that similar arguments are used. So did you hear the argument that people are born this way and they can't change?
Of course, and they went back to the you know, most pedophiles know they're pedophiles from childhood because why, they're children, and they find themselves attracted to and interested in children. So by they must be, because everything is sexual and must be sexualized. Mm-hmm. So they must be pedophiles, of course, and then they never grow out of that sexual attraction to children. I mean, you know, just boggles the mind. The illogic is palpable, but the talking points were there. They are using the homosexual activist playbook to a T, following it bullet point by bullet point, and hoping to reach the same ends relative to the sexual orientation, as Dr. Berlin calls it, of the MAP, minor attracted person sexual orientation.
Yeah, you know, another term that's used is male intergenerational intimacy. It's intergenerational intimacy.
Pederasty, the male intergenerational relationships.
And,
yes.
And here's what many of them would say. They would say, I had a sexual relationship when I was a child, and it was a good thing for me. It was positive. So they actually are deluded enough to say that what they're doing is actually positive. You I bet you heard that as well.
Yeah, of course, and they also, you know, had to point out that pedophiles, quote, have feelings of love and romance for children, mm-hmm. and that, quote, the majority of pedophiles are gentle and rational. And you point out, you know, yes, science shows that a high percentage of people who are raped as children, unfortunately, may the cycle repeats itself. They may end up being child rapists themselves, but in their own, they rationalize it in such a way to say, well, no, I was, the rape had nothing to do with it. It was just a wonderful thing that I had, you know, this consensual sexual relationship with an adult as a young boy. But so I'm just going to spread the wealth and share that wonderful love and romance with your children going forward.
And again, our listeners need to realize this was not some illegal underground meeting that you infiltrated. This was an openly advertised event with very, very well-known psychiatric leaders in the psychological profession in America. A man like Dr. Richard Green, who wasn't there, but one of the men that was on the front lines of arguing that homosexuality should be removed as a disorder in 73, he's been fighting that same battle for pedophilia all these years. But Matt, thankfully, you're in an environment where you're surrounded by committed Christians at Liberty. Do you think it's too late for America? Do you think it's too late for our culture? Or do you see something, even among young people, that gives you some courage and encouragement?
Well, you know, I hope it's not too late. I'm sounding the alarm, but certainly Alfred Kinsey's vision of a society that embraces complete sexual relativism. There are no clear lines of demarcation between right and wrong. Anything goes. We're as close to that as we've ever been, as evidenced by the fact that at a Four Points Sheridan in Baltimore, Maryland, a group of pedophiles and elitist academics from Harvard and Johns Hopkins and the University of Texas and the University of Illinois can gather together and commiserate and talk about how they can have pedophilia removed as a disorder from the DSM. We're as close as we've ever been to complete sexual anarchy. Mm-hmm. The sexual anarchy movement, the pedophile movement, is just one branch of that larger sexual anarchy movement. Homosexual activists, your pro-aborts, Planned Parenthood, the National Education Association, GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, where do I stop? They all, of course, have children in the crosshairs. They are the collateral damage. I say let children be children. Leave them alone. Yeah.
And let's stand up and do what's right. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us in the midst of your busy schedule. I look forward to seeing you this weekend, brother.
God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So this is what's happening, friends, in Charlotte this weekend. Gay Pride event that used to be full of vulgar, lewd displays in a public park in Charlotte changed dramatically. It moved to private property and toned down dramatically since different Christian ministries got involved preaching the gospel, being present in the midst of the events. We've had a privilege of being on the front lines of that with others in the city here that, in fact, first introduced us to what was happening with the Gay Pride events. We've seen significant things happen, positive things happen with a major gay activist organization. Used to have a fundraising rally here in the city, and gay activists said, great, this is going to give us a vision of what the city is going to look like in 5 or 10 years. They've since relocated their fundraising event. For whatever reason, we're pleased that that happened, and we sought to expose what their real agenda was and who they really were, despite the major sponsorship from corporate America. Well, this year, the Gay Pride organizers said they're not going to, quote, run from us anymore. Now, we're just there in law-abiding ways, meet with the police, find out what we can and can't do, and do everything in a way that if you followed us with a camera and put it on YouTube for the whole world to see, we'd have nothing to be ashamed of, except we would proudly say we are witnesses for Jesus, walking in a spirit of love and truth. So gay activists have said this. I quote from one local gay activist: after running scared from anti-LGBT protesters for 5 years, Charlotte's annual LGBT Pride Festival will finally move back to Uptown Charlotte and back into the public square. For far too long, Charlotte's queer community has been weak and timid in the face of an anti-LGBT prejudice, protesting, and bigotry. Despite the relatively small number, we've allowed anti-LGBT protest groups like Operation Save America, that's the group that first introduced us to what was happening in the city, and Coalition of Conscience, that's our organization, to dictate to us the terms of our own community's outspokenness, political involvement, and civic engagement. No more. Come August, Pride Charlotte will be back in the public square and in the heart of Uptown. LGBT Charlottians are no less deserving of full participation in the political, social, artistic, cultural, civic, and religious lives of the city. This is the year we take back our God-given rights to be who we are openly and proudly and as fully deserving citizens and residents of the Queen City. Well, bottom line is they already have those rights. We're not going to redefine marriage so to cater to someone's sexual attraction or romantic attraction. And no, we're not going to change what we believe the Bible says in terms of our religious beliefs. And we'll vote according to our moral standards and so on. But all these things, political, social, artistic, cultural, civic, religious lives, they have that. There are gay churches in the city. There's a major Baptist church in the city that left Southern Baptist Convention and that now ordains practicing homosexuals into ministry, Myers Park Baptist. There are cultural events, artistic events, social events, political events, gay communities fully involved. If the issue is, will everyone embrace gay activism, or will everyone endorse homosexual behavior, or will everyone applaud gay activism? The answer is no. we will be true to our moral convictions. We will love people. We will love individuals. I love Muslims, and I reject Muslim beliefs. I love people living together out of wedlock and reject their moral stand. I love people who are pro-abortion and absolutely reject their pro-abortion views. That's not the issue. The issue is, if you're going to be out and proud in our city, so are we. So here's the challenge from local gay activists. This is the year, my friends, when Charlotte's queers rise up and say, we demand equality, we demand it now. So don't let anyone tell you this is just a social event. It's just a gathering where people get to see each other. There's plenty of time to see each other through the year, okay? There's no one stopping them from seeing each other hanging out, okay? So this is a politically charged event with a politically charged message, hence in the heart of our city, all right? This is the year, my friends, when Charlotte's queers rise up and say, we demand equality, we demand it now. We've waited long enough, and we will no longer continue to reward or support politicians and other civic or religious leaders who fail to deliver on their promises and work to ensure all their constituents are equally protected by the full weight of the law, policy, and practice. You are fully protected, but we're not going to redefine morality and redefine religion and redefine the family and redefine marriage and redefine children's education. It was to cater to gay activism. So what are we going to do? Are we going to yell and scream? No. Are we going to have an angry protest? No. I'm not going to be angry words because we don't have angry hearts. We will, weather permitting. If there's an event outside, we'll be there. We will, wearing red shirts that say God has a better way, walk through the event. Oh, there's an uproar over this. People want to get us arrested for it. People say, we're going to have you jailed. We're going to find a way to have you jailed. We want your work destroyed. You should see the posts. People putting up websites of just all kinds of ridiculously misleading information. We want violence. And just, you think, are you that scared? Are you that scared of followers of Jesus wearing red shirts that say God has a better way, walking through your event, handing out bottles of water? Are you that scared of it? Is our presence that disruptive? If so, let the light shine in the darkness. If so, let the truth shine in the midst of deception. If so, let Jesus be glorified in the midst of people who do not know him, many of whom claim to know him. Last year's Gay Pride event outside the heart of the city started with prayer and with worship. People saying they're following Jesus and living in open homosexual relations at the same time. God help them in their deception. And then at night, outreach concert. So everyone that can join us, you're in the right spirit, you want to go together with us, go to GodHasABetterWay.com for details. We'll be starting a little bit before noon. We'll worship and pray together, then put on our shirts. As long as everyone agrees to the terms of engagement, the conduct with which we conduct ourselves as followers of Jesus, we'll then walk wearing those shirts into the midst of the event and share the good news with those that are willing to hear and pray for those that need prayer or want to receive prayer. And then Saturday night, 7 p.m., outreach concert. Now, I know I'm speaking to people all over America, and you say, man, I wish it was in Charlotte. You can pray. You can join us in prayer. You can literally hold our hands up in prayer. And if you want to stand with us in other ways, if you want to stand with us as monthly torchbearers and help us get this message out across the nation, and this radio ministry functions as the hub, the root, the foundation of everything that we do, helping us reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel, helping us stand for righteousness in Charlotte in America, helping us raise up, send out missionaries to the nations. This is all flowing out of what we do here at the Line of Fire. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 if you'd like to make a one-time gift, or better still, become a monthly torchbearer. We are hearing such great reports from our torchbearers. We pour into them with new material every month, and they're so enthusiastic as we stand together and together make a difference. So give us a call. Our team's ready to hear from you. 1-800-278-9978. Special resources at a discount are available this week as well. You can ask about that. 1-800-278-9978. And be praying for this weekend. We will keep you posted blow by blow as things happen for the glory of God and in the goodness of God. Here is my bottom line. We found out that it is a poem with the help of my assistant here, Randy. So my bottom line, God can save through many. God can save through few. God can save through well-known men. God can save through you. I say, friends, it's time to stand up, and together we can, we will make a difference.